Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is LeVar. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we got Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson, the Bally Sports Arizona Phoenix Suns color analyst, was a very good ball player back in the day for the Suns and a few other teams. But he'll join us at the bottom of the hour to tell us about these Phoenix Suns who look like they could be headed. We got a little ways to go, but look like they could be headed to their first NBA championship. Wow, that would be something else. But we'll get into that with him at the bottom of the hour. But first, and I really, LeVar, I can't wait to get your opinion on this. And I'm saying this seriously. I know I joke around with you a lot. Yeah, but we're talking about, as you know, name, image, and likeness is coming to the NCAA. Mm-hmm. And Division I or any college athletes really in the NCAA are going to be able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. They're just trying to figure out how to do it, you know, and different at this point, you know, different states have looking like they might have different rules. I want to get in all that because I think that would be tragic. They have to get it done nationally. It has to be the same rules across the board so there's no recruiting advantages for schools in certain states. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you in general, what is your feeling as a former, you know, great Division I player at Penn State? What is your feeling on name, image, likeness, and maybe just athletes being paid in general at the college level?
I mean, your name is your name. Your parents gave you that name, or whoever loved you, you know, your caretaker, your guardian, they gave you that name. Your likeness is you. That's your likeness. Right. So whatever it is you put in time-wise to build yourself up to a point of where there is value, where it's monetizable, I think it's a travesty that people generate for all of these years through generations of time using people's names and likenesses to generate money, and they don't see any of that money. Now, I think that that's the general premise of it for me from where I come from. But while I'll sit there and I'll say, I feel as though if your name and your likeness is being used to generate financial revenue and gain for a company, that you should have the right. I mean, go figure. Like, this is like, why is this a conversation? You should have a right to benefit from the money that's being generated from your name and your likeness. Now, with that being said,
your classmate who's an English major could do it if they were, you're right? If somebody wanted to pay them for that, why can't the athlete?
Right. But now here's where I will say it gets a tad bit kind of, if you keep it in that realm and you keep it that simple, then you're good, right? Like, okay. If a guy, but you're talking about how many kids around, or young men around the country are going to have that type of draw, that type of impact to be able to leverage their name and likeness to the capacity that people are making it out to be. I say on a smaller scale, most of your, like all of your starting guys should be able, even guys who are recognizable that were top recruits that haven't played yet, they should be able to go into the communities and leverage their names and likenesses to build rapport with their communities, to generate opportunities for themselves financially, to create bonds and ties. I think that those things should exist and not have to be always micromanaged by the universities. But it's hard. I think that's going to be a hard task.
Obviously, the start, like when you were at Penn State, you would have had people coming at you left and right. locally for sure, and maybe even nationally, to do some endorsement deals. But I also so that goes without saying. The guys at that level will get that. But I also think that local car dealerships or supermarkets or whatever it may be, they may cut some deals with the team. You know what I mean? Where they may send various players that just play for Penn State or play for Michigan State or whatever to do some, you know, do something for the car dealership, and they'll get some money for it. Or they'll, you know what I'm saying? So what I like about name, image, likeness, at least as a start, is it's very complex how you're gonna pay these athletes. Cause my feeling, LeVar, is that it really only needs to be the football players and the men's basketball players. Because those are really just the only ones generating.
Because that's been the age-old debate. And you know, people have brought up the Title IX and, you know, all those different things. And I get all that. But if it's a revenue-generating sport, so it might be a different sport out of those two. If your school has a revenue-generating sport, that means you have revenue-generating athletes.
Right.
And those revenue-generating athletes should be compensated for generating the revenue for your business. Because
I agree.
You're looking at it two ways.
Women's basketball, maybe.
Correct.
In that instance. Now, that would give them a recruiting advantage.
But they already have a recruiting advantage.
True.
They win.
True.
They already have the recruiting advantage. You know, so it's kind of like when people sit there and say, oh, well, the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. Well, what do you think's going on right now?
Right.
Alabama's getting richer now. They're getting poorer now. Right? I mean, yeah, sure. Like Alabama doesn't – some of those guys aren't going to make it in the National Football League now. And that's the thing to me. Like if you have a guy and he was a big-name player – and was here's a great example. Even though he makes a ton of money and he was smart with how he branded himself and created his likeness and owned it. Tim Tebow, he doesn't have a great career in the NFL. He didn't make a ton of money playing in the National Football League, right? So if Tim Tebow, one of the most recognizable players and considered one of the greatest football players in the history of college football, was to some way somehow have a regular 9-to-5 job based upon him not having made enough money when he played in the National Football League, that's a problem. That's a problem because he could have, if he had the rights to his name and his likeness in college, he might have not have had to work another day of his life.
So what you're saying for people that might not understand, you're saying if he wasn't a broadcaster or, you know, wasn't getting these other opportunities in baseball and football.
Yeah, I think his nonprofit and everything. He did everything so correct that he generates more money than what he would have ever generated playing football. But if that's not the situation he's in, if he was just a football player and he went through college, made it to the pros, didn't last long, out of the league, didn't make a lot of money. Vince, there's a good one. There's a good one. Right?
All the money he generated at Texas, he should have been getting something for that.
I mean,
because now he'd be. No.
And here's what's crazy. You can name a whole bunch of players that people wouldn't even know, but you know where they would be valued at? Where they went to school.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a ton of them that would have made. I mean, heck, like, let's not get crazy about it. If you take a guy who sold, like, you went to the stadium, you saw their jersey all over the stadium, and you took $3 to $5 of each one of those jerseys sold, and that went to that kid, that young man. Not whether you want to put it in a bank account for when they graduate or when they leave the school or they're not there anymore, whatever it may be. If you just took $3 to $5, think about that.
And that's what
crazy.
I like about it, LeVar, is that like we talked earlier about Title IX and the non-revenue generating sports. Well, if you happen to have a prodigy who's a golfer or a swimmer, you know what I mean? And they're so good that they actually are getting endorsement opportunities, then they can capitalize on it.
Take advantage as well. Correct.
But you're not paying every golfer, every wrestler, or every track and field athlete. But the ones who are on that level, they do get that money. So
right,
I think it's a good start.
But now let's go there, and I agree with you on that. So, but now look at the football team as a whole, or the basketball team as a whole. If you could pay a coach a sum of $5 million and up to somewhere around $9 to $10 million yearly at the college ranks, you're telling me you can't take half of that $10 million and split that up amongst 100 football players?
Man, what's 100, if you just split
what's 100 divided by what's 100 divided by 5 million?
Rob G, you the math whiz, get on that. It's a lot. A lot. That's the answer. A lot.
That's like 200 grand, isn't it?
That's $50,000 each.
Okay. $50,000 each.
So you feel like the 79th man should get as much as you got?
As a base salary for being there and contributing? Because that last dude, I had to cover him in practice. He had to give me a good look in practice. For LeVar to be LeVar on Saturdays, I had to deal with somebody who was giving me a good enough look where I was confident going against the dudes I was going against on game day. So
let's go with that. So let's say players were making $50,000 a year, and then you might get more because you got endorsements, because you're a star and all that.
Yep.
How would that change, in your view, does that change the nature of college football? Because that's what I hear a lot of people saying. Well, now it's professionals, they're employees. Do you think it fundamentally changes anything?
Anyway. They're employees now anyway. We know that we're employees. So to say that we would become employees is preposterous. We know what we are. They own our time. If we weren't employees, if we were just amateur status guys and you're not an employee, well, I decide I don't want to go to practice for the week. I'm going to concentrate on my finals and just go to class, and I'll show up for the game on Saturday. Let's see how that plays out as an amateur that wants to show up because they're not an employee. Miss a workout. Miss anything. Miss anything that's
because it don't even – you just said something that obviously you miss a week that people view that as egregious. But you can't even miss a day or two, right?
You can't miss a minute. You can't miss a minute of a workout. You get punished.
I had players in the NBA tell me this, and obviously there are some exceptions here and there, but they told me if you play big time ball, football or basketball, you got to get a major. You don't have to do basket weaving or something like that, but you can't, it's hard. It's almost impossible to do engineering or medicine, pre-med. You got to do like communications or, you know, something that's not nearly as demanding.
Time extensive. Yeah. It's you don't have the time. I double majored in sociology, rehab education, and psychology. I double majored.
So how was that?
It was hell. And now here's what makes it crazy. I make the cover of Sports Illustrated my junior year of college. And we're the number one rated team by Sports Illustrated. So I'm on the edition, like the picture on Sports Illustrated when you're a kid growing up, and it's Sports Illustrated. Right. I'm on the issue of that Sports Illustrated. I can recall the first week of class, Chris, I am walking towards the class and I see like, and this is no exaggeration, thousands of people standing in the lawn in front of the building. Think nothing of it, right? I think of it. I'm walking, hoping that there might be a cute girl in the crowd. Like maybe I meet somebody. Like this is cool. It's college, junior year. Maybe somebody will recognize me and whatever. Chris, bags of Sports Illustrated's, bags, backpacks, shopping cart bags, bags of like 10, 15, 20 Sports Illustrateds. All of them.
Wow.
All of them. So now it goes from, oh, wow, there's a lot of people outside of the building. This is pretty cool. It's football season. It's exciting. And it goes from excitement to straight anxiety. And when I tell you, it is one of the most intense feelings when you get caught up and you didn't realize you was about to get caught up. Like, so now I'm walking towards my class and then I get mobbed. Mobbed. Right? And so here's the thing. Here, connected to another story a long time ago, I always said, based upon a superstar, a high school player that I deemed a superstar, he was one of the biggest stars to me, and my dad took us to see a game. Long story short, I go to see him, and I see him in the stands and go up to get an autograph from him, and he told me no. I said, I'd never say no to a fan. I vowed to my dad that day. I said, I'd never say no to a true fan. So imagine this. I'm signing LaVar, LaVar Arrington, 11, and I am literally missing class. I'm missing class because I can't pull myself to say no to a fan. I get in trouble. I get in trouble for missing the class. I got in trouble for missing the class. Wow. Finally make it into the classroom one of the days. I make it into the classroom. The professor says, I need you to stay after class. I need to talk to you. I stay after class to go talk to the professor. No problem. The professor pulls out 10 Sports Illustrateds. I need you to sign these for me.
Right? Wow.
Now, these are the stories that don't make it to the light of day that people don't talk about.
Right.
But just imagine if that was a signing. Imagine if I made 20,000, like today, if I go, I've been out of football for years. Today, if I go do a signing, it's going to cost you 20 stacks. You're going to give me 20 bands or I don't need to come.
Right.
So imagine.
You would be able to do that
Now that's me being removed now.
Right.
Imagine the best football player, and I was rated the number one prospect all during the year, graded out through the combine, through the pro days, and still was the highest graded player going into the 2000 draft.
Right.
How much could I have commanded as a signing? If I had did like 3 or 4 signings during the course of that year.
Yeah. That's legit. That's good stuff. All right, we're going to throw it out to you guys. 877-99 on Fox. Is name, image, and likeness good for college sports? 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard on a Worship Wednesday. LaVar Arrington in for Rob Parker. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, and we're going to give a little game update. Now, on my screen, I stream, LaVar, so I'm like a little bit behind, but it's 57-54. Mm. Is it halftime yet? I got 40 seconds left in the first half on my
TV.
They're
in the third quarter now.
20 seconds left in the half, 57-54, Milwaukee. This is
seconds. Yeah, it's almost halftime.
So, Atlanta, look, giving them all they want.
I mean, you would have to assume that they're trying to give them all that they want.
Well, trying and actually doing it are two different things. I knew they were going to try.
Yeah, but I think they match up well. I just think that they don't have an answer for Giannis. And I think that that's the key. But I don't think they have an answer for Trae Young.
Well, some people think it would be Drew Holiday. He's an all-league defender,
Campbell Hall,
but he's not quick enough to deal with Trae. So we will see. But look, Atlanta's impressed me. Nate McMillan, I said this, LaVar, last week, one of the greatest coaching jobs I've seen in my 26 years of covering the NBA. Nate McMillan. That team was 20-47 last year. And they were struggling mightily before he took over this year. And he's got them in the conference finals. Like, and no, look, if somehow Trae Young won this NBA championship,
he would be crowned the best. No, I'm joking.
I'm joking. But I will say this. He would have done it with a lesser supporting cast than just everybody. Michael, Magic, Bird, LeBron, Kawhi.
I agree.
Everybody. Duncan, yeah. Like, this would be, I wouldn't even know how to explain this, man. Like, guy in his third year, it leads a team to the championship? I get the injuries and all that, but you still have to give him some credit if indeed he were to do it.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable.
It's a hard one to explain. And it's a hard one to try to comprehend. You know what you start to realize when, like, I read comments sometimes and pay attention to what people say. It's hard for people to comprehend and fathom what has to be done, what has to happen, what people have to do in order to have a chance at success, let alone have the success and what goes into all of that. So that's a hard one to explain for McMillan, for Trae Young.
Yep.
It would be a hard one to explain what that would represent if the Atlanta Hawks were able to indeed win it all.
Well, because you hear people talk about how hard it is to win in the NBA, and it is. And even the LeBron, it took him a while to learn how to win a championship. Not win games, but a championship. And, you know, you played ball in high school. You were a high-level basketball player in high school.
Yep.
Can you imagine how grueling a seven-game series must be?
The season itself is grueling.
Well, of course. But I'm saying playing the same team.
Oh, so that would be an emotional drain.
Yes, and they know everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? It gets to a point where there's really no adjustments to be made. They know what I like to do. I know what they like to do.
Yeah.
It's just like mentally,
Who's better?
Emotionally,
who wants it more?
Physically. Yes. So to do that four times, four series like that, it's just, man, it is grueling. And you're right. If a guy that young did it, Magic did it young, but he had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
You know, they say Kareem, but he had James Worthy.
Well, like, not the rookie year. I'm talking about the rookie year.
Oh, not the rookie year.
But he did have Jamal. I don't know if Jamal Wilkes was there. That Norm Nixon was there. And Jamal Wilkes was there. Jamal Wilkes, Norm Nixon, Kareem. I mean, they had a squad.
Yeah.
They had a squad.
I just don't think – I wanted to crowbar James Worthy in there because as of late, I've been talking a lot about him because I don't think he gets a lot of the credit or the run or the shine. Like, wouldn't you say that – James Worthy was the Scottie Pippen of the Lakers team with Magic Johnson and even with Kareem.
Well, they obviously you just said they obviously had a big three, whereas Jordan more it was a duo. But yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. Now, in fairness, Worthy was named to the top 50 players of all time.
He just doesn't get any run, though. Why does he not get run? Like, I could understand him getting named to the top 50 because he should be named to the top 50.
Right.
But he doesn't, like, I don't hear his name very often.
To your point, he won't be the next time. You know, if they do, I think the next time they'll do maybe a top 75 or top 100. But if they were to do a top 50, he wouldn't get on that. And that speaks to your point. I think it's just because he played with Magic and Kareem. You know, and he was just the odd man out. All right, we got our man. I told you about him, Eddie Johnson, Bally Sports, Arizona Phoenix Suns color analyst, coming up to tell us about the Suns.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Our next guest is the Bally Sports Arizona Phoenix Suns color analyst. Also was a great player in the NBA for many years. Eddie Johnson. Eddie, what's happening, man?
What up?
Man, it's always good to get in with you all. And so you got another odd couple with you, huh?
You don't have to worry about Rob tonight. It's just LeVar Arrington.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I've been watching LeVar and his young career on TV, and I'm afraid right now. I know he speaks his mind.
I appreciate you, man.
He does indeed. Well, look, let's get to the Suns, man. And look, you've been watching them all year and be the second best team in the league as far as record. You knew they were very good, but are they even surprising you a little bit, or you knew this was how good they were?
You know, guys, I think what's surprising me even more, because, Chris, we talked early in the year, and I said people are sleeping on this team because I do get to see them every day, and I see how well they progress. But really what surprised me even more is once the playoffs started, you always put that quote-unquote inexperience up there, inexperience.
Right.
And they haven't played like any kind of team with no experience. I mean, that's the thing that's maybe surprised me more than anything, is that their guys actually believe they've been here before in some form or fashion. And that right there, I think, has elevated them even more. Let's face it. I mean, I know the Lakers were beat up and hurt, but you still beat a guy in LeBron that visits the finals every year.
Right.
And then you turn it around. Yes, Denver was beat up a little bit, but still, you sweep the MVP.
Right.
Saw what the Clippers did to Utah by coming back from 25 down. That doesn't intimidate you a little bit. And they just looked at them without Chris Paul and beat them two games here at home. So it just shows you how tough-minded this team is.
OG, I got to ask you this question. Watching it so closely from your perspective and from your angle, I feel as though the team may have found themselves in that Nuggets series. Like, it was like something clicked in. You know, as a coach, I pride myself on being able to see my kids when it's like, man, like, something clicked on them and they do things a little differently now. I feel as though, like, looking at this Suns team, that something clicked in that Nuggets series. Am I off? Am I overstating it? Or did you have any type of sense of that in that series as well?
No, LeVar, I think they were growing to that, right? I think in beating the Lakers, the defending champion, really gave them a lot of confidence, especially when you beat them on their floor convincingly like they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into Denver, I'm sure you tasted that altitude probably playing against the Broncos and how difficult that is.
It didn't bother me any. I was knocking them smack out, OG, but I have heard it has hurt people.
I already know. Hey, you was a killer. I already know that.
I'm messing with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That altitude can mess with you and the speed of the game. And then you're dealing with the MVP. Yes, they were beat up a little bit, but Jokic is a walking statistic, and he can pretty much beat you by himself. And the fact that they were able and confident enough to sweep them, yeah, I think they feel like right now, they don't talk about it because Monty keeps them level-headed, but they truly believe they're the best team in the league. And that's a scary thought based on a team that hadn't made the playoffs in about 10-plus years. And and had to make their name in the bubble going 8-0. I mean, that's the amazing part.
I have heard a few people today, it's smart people. I'm not just going to disrespect
smart
them, but I disagree with them. But I've heard a few people say when Chris Paul comes back, we believe game three, it's the Clippers are going to have a better chance of beating Phoenix because as great as Chris is, they're going to play at a slower tempo. And Cam is you know, he is getting to the hole. His quickness, his aggressiveness is not what the Clippers expected, and that they think they're going to have a better chance of beating them with Chris Paul. To that, you say what?
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Flat-out joke.
Indeed.
Yeah, okay, let's look at the box score from yesterday. Yeah, campaign is going to get his numbers because he's got the ball in his hand. And that high screen and roll with DeAndre Ayton is devastating. It really is. And so, yeah, I get that part. He's going to play well, and Ayton played well. But look who struggled. Devin struggled. Bridges struggled. Crowder struggled. Why? Because they didn't get the kind of shot that they're used to getting.
Right.
And not taking anything away from campaign, he's been tremendous. Come on, 29-9?
Right.
The kid is unbelievable. He's one of the top six men in the league. But Chris Paul manages the game. He settles everything. And then when you need him at the end to make big buckets, I can argue and say the games wouldn't have been close in games 1 and 2 here because Chris Paul would have taken the game over in the fourth quarter.
Nah, that's fair. And they obviously they could have lost that game last night. Let me throw this at you quickly. DeAndre Ayton, look, would I rather have Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic? Sure. But in many ways, I feel like Ayton is really like the prototypical center for today's game. With his athleticism, he can score, though. You don't have to run a ton of stuff for him to get his 20 points. He's efficient. He defends the perimeter as well as the rim. Am I overstating it, or do you agree with that?
I totally agree with it. You know, when they beat Utah, everybody was, like, scared. Like, oh, we saw what they did to Rudy Gobert. I said, look, all due respect to Rudy Gobert, Ayton is a better defender on the perimeter.
Right.
They can't do that to him. And also, he can score. He will destroy them, and that's what he's done. This kid is growing. It's amazing where he's going to be because he was struggling. He was walking. In fact, I'll back up. He was crawling.
Mm.
He started walking. Now he's running. And he's running at a speed right now that people can't catch up with because it's come from nowhere. And LeVar, you know this, right? You guys know this. Look, everybody reaches a point where they figure out what they're doing at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Look back on it and they say, man, I wish I had known that then. No, you went through the process of it. And that's what DeAndre has done. And now he's not looking back. I mean, he feels dominant. I mean, he's out there trying to destroy the rim now. You know, before he was finesse. Now he's trying to hurt people. That's the kind of guy that he is, and I give a lot of that credit to Monty Williams, CP3, and Devin Booker because they have written this kid ad nauseum, and now he is right where they need him to be.
I got one question for you, one last question, OG, and it is totally unrelated to what we've been talking about in the coverage of the teams. I just got to know, the mustache. You have rocked it now. The only other dude I know that rocked the mustache like you did was Larry Graham. Now, did Larry Graham have any impact on you rocking the mustache? And where? Because you still, I've caught you on TV. You still rock it to this day. You never changed up your style from when you was playing. And you know, Dr. J did it too. I know he still rocks it here and there, but he'll go butt face here and there. But you have always rocked that stash, man. What can you give us the secret behind what the stash? Is it a secret power connected to it? Like, what, just like Samson? And, you know, like, what's the connection to the mustache?
LeVar, that's a good one. Three reasons. One, I got good genes. So all I didn't go bald-headed like most guys did.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like Clyde Drexler, Charles Barkley once told me, they said, Eddie, why don't you just go ahead, man, and just, you know, let your hair go? You know, I said, okay, I tell you what. I'll cut my hair off if you let that horseshoe grow. Okay, so my wife loves my mustache, so that's all why right. I can't cut it off.
Word.
All right? And three, just for men – man, that was a godsend for me.
I know that's right.
I'm with you on that, Eddie.
I know that's right.
And I'm looking at Larry Graham now, and y'all do kind of favor each other.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
I can't sing like him, though.
That's our man.
And he can't hoop like you.
Thanks.
Hey, man, great stuff. We appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. All right.
Yep. All right, later. That was a good one, LeVar.
You know I'm a face face. You know we need to come up with a segment called the face face segment. You know what
the
I mean?
The face face. Yeah, that's
bro.
You're right. That's a good. Yeah. Do you have one for you, for me?
I told
off the
you,
top
you,
of your
you
head?
Malcolm Little to me. You know what I mean?
That's what I got my reading glasses on.
Shabazz. You know what I mean? Like, you look just like him, bro. Like, I don't know why that, nobody, like, all that one night in Miami and all, there was, like, a lot
right,
of show,
right.
The King of Harlem.
Oh, Godfather of Harlem.
Yep, like, yep, why yep. did you not get casted for that? I mean, the guy did a great job who played Malcolm in
I could, as good as he was, I could have done better, believe me.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree.
That's but, the best.
Now, I ain't gonna give you Denzel. Ain't gonna give you Denzel, but ain't gonna give you Denzel, brother. But I'm just saying,
hey,
that's who
I,
you look
I
like to me.
I appreciate that. All right, we got more Odd Couple coming your way. Chris and LeVar is in for Rob Parker. Keep
yeah.
it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know, I got it. Alex, see, LeVar, I'm going to let you in on a little Odd Couple secret. Alex always plays that at the end of Worship Wednesday. That's
I do.
Kanye West singing.
Okay.
And you know, because Kanye should stick to rapping. He don't need to be singing. But I got to admit, this is growing on me.
Is it?
It's growing
Let's
on me.
Go.
It don't sound as bad. Every week it sounds a little bit better.
It's funny.
It sounds a little bit
That's
better.
It's like you with someone who can't cook, CB, but every time you eat, you're like, it ain't that bad this time.
Right. LeVar just said it. I love his heart and his spirit. He's into
it. Sing it from the heart.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it is, but it's growing on me. But I'm going to hit you with this quick as we wrap up the show. Ben Simmons, we all know what he's been going through.
Yeah.
Did you ever have those types of mental challenges at any point in your career, or did you have teammates that did, and just talk, what was it like? How did you or they come out of it? Like, can you empathize with what he's going through?
I think every player in the locker room at Washington that was there for an extended amount of time went through the things Ben Simmons went through. You know, I think that when you change coaches, when the culture isn't established, when the old way of looking at things like when I first got to Washington, Daryl Green was still there, you know, from and he was from the first time when things were the culture and the identity of the team was established and it was what it was. We didn't have that, but yet we were measured and judged and based off of that. And that can play tricks on you because you're always constantly trying to figure out how to do things the way the new guy wants it done, how to try to, you know, get things to a place where you're winning and you start pushing and different things like that. Now, I don't know Ben Simmons. I've heard conflicting reports about his work ethic and different things like that. I don't know one way or the other, so I won't look at it from a personal standpoint as it applies to him. But having to deal with the mental gymnastics of trying to play at a high level, yeah. I definitely had moments in time, and the way you go about doing it is just like anything else in life. You kind of settle yourself in, and you take it one step at a time. Don't skip steps. Don't you know, dismiss it. Just approach it with a focus that's what you're going to do. You're going to do it the right way and do it one step at a time, and hope that's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, the dude has got incredible talent. The form on his jumper isn't horrible. I mean, whether you can rebuild it, but it's not horrible as it is. But it's just a mental block for some reason right now. And I don't know if he's already done it, but I do think he should go see a sports psychologist. Because that seems to me, that seems to be the biggest problem.
Everyone should go see one.
Yeah.
You got gyms, you got weight rooms, you got training places, but you don't have a place for the mental,
right,
for the emotional. It's crazy.
And as you know better than me, that's as big a part of it as anything.
It's the biggest
when
part.
When you get to this level.
Yeah, it's the
all right.
Part.
That's our man, LeVar Arrington. Great stuff, my man.
I'm glad you could have me on, man. I appreciate you having
me. Nah, it was fun, man. You did a great job. And I didn't mention Utah once.
And Utah went further than the Lakers.
First thing. Peace, brother. I couple out.
Later.
Later.